The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game, New Year's Day edition, right here at Circa. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Thanks for joining us on this New Year's morning. VSiN.com, VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're doing it. We appreciate it. Coming up this hour, Chris Felica, the Bear, here standing by to talk college football with us. And Adam Burke, the toughest booking of them all.
That's right.
Our VSiN managing editor coming up. We're looking forward to talking to Adam. By the way, what was your favorite part of my interview with Tim Brando last segment? What was your favorite part? What question do you think I nailed?
When you asked him what his favorite stadium food is.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that went pretty well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Greg Jones. Oh, Greg was one of the four choppers at the end of Survivor last year. Oh, listen to this. He said, when I was bartending in college, Eric Dickerson tipped me $5 on a $200 bill.
What?
Go Saquon. Hope he gets the record by 1 yard.
That's a great story.
Wow.
And just awful.
Oh, man. Wow. Jeez. James Sott, Happy New Year, a numbers game crew. My betting resolutions: 1, limit my grass court tennis betting; 2, try to in-game bet more; 3, like Kelly, look at player prop market more. Happy New Year to you, Jim.
I'm going to try to limit my grass court betting too. That's
right. You should really do it. You should
it's
really
out of
limit
control,
it.
Man.
Colin Murphy, Happy New Year, Gilly Kelly. This year, I am not going to be afraid to continue to fade teams that are highly overrated in the market. For example, FSU and the University of Arizona in college football. Sorry, Kelly. And the Titans in the NFL. These teams aren't due. The market just never adjusts. Andy Christensen. Andy, you cannot be serious about this question. He says, who do you like for Survivor in Week 18? Between the Colts, Texans, Bengals, and Rams. Andy, I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm long out of Survivor. And if you're still in it, my God, if you've gotten this far, please, you don't need my advice. You do you on this.
I was impressed that you had asked JVT about Circa Millions. I don't know about you. It's been a couple years since I've submitted picks past Christmas.
No. He was the reason I asked because he was in it after 2 weeks last week. I think he was like well in the hunt.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. That's why. It wasn't just randomly asking him. Yeah. Mariner's Geek came back. He says, forget my resolutions. I have Gil's resolutions. Tell us the name of that GD sushi place, he said.
My favorite part of that whole story still is that I went there and I cannot tell you the name of it.
And Colin Murphy says, also, Gil and Kelly, can we hear your Australian accent that you use for your brother-in-law? Is that you?
Yeah, we might have to get a few drinks in me first, though. Yeah.
First we play in Brisbane, then we go to Adelaide, then we go to Melbourne. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the Bear at Fox Sports. He used to be the Bear at ESPN. Now he's the Bear at Fox Sports. He is the host of the Bear Bets podcast, both football, pro and college. And of course, he is on Big Noon Saturdays talking football with us. It's Chris Felica, everybody, kind enough to join us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line on this New Year's Day 2025. Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year. Same to you and Kelly. Boy, I was going to say, you must be sliding Adam Burke an extra 50 or a C note every time you get him on the show for the amount of times that each volunteers to come on your show. You must have a little side deal going with him.
Well, Brando's interview went so well. He was like, I'll come on for free. That's what he said.
That is the upset of the year. The very young 2025. And no one likes talking college football as much as Timmy B. So, yeah, something must have been going on at the Chateau where he was unable to get out of the rack this morning.
Yeah, maybe he had a good night last night. Who knows?
Might have.
Let me ask you about last night's game first. Well, before we even get to last night's game, Alabama complete no-show yesterday against Michigan. 3 turnovers. It was a turnover on downs. Then 2 fumbles and an interception. Michigan goes up 16-0. Alabama can never quite get back in it. Then South Carolina, based on how they've been playing, kind of disappointing against Illinois, at least I thought. And there was a whole Bielema. By the way, where do you stand on that? On that whole Beamer, Bielema thing yesterday?
I did not watch but like a few plays of that game. I was dialed into the Sun Bowl because I had UW plus 2.5 is one of my early plays. And
never in doubt. Never in doubt.
I am the first one to like joke about like CLV and like, the 4-point CLV. Look at how that goes. And I think for the first time in my life, it actually played out in my favor, where the fact that I did get the best of the number on UW wound up working out. But yeah, they were dead in the water and then somehow worked their way back in the game. So yeah, I did not see really much of the I guess that was at the Cheez-It Bowl that they were playing him. So I can't comment on that. But the Alabama game, that I don't want to say surprised me, but it, at the same time, yeah, of course, everybody now jumping to conclusions. Just it's like you always say, like it's the results based handicapping. Oh, see, they lost, they look terrible. But yeah, I think the bigger issue for Alabama now moving forward is under Nick Saban, like the most impressive thing that they did was never losing to unranked teams. Like they won like 100 straight games against unranked opponents. And now this year they lost to 3. So like that's getting back to like being able to play week in, week out. We'll see if they can do that because it's an ominous sign, I think, for the long term, for the future, immediate future rather, of the Alabama football program. Where remember a couple of years ago, Nick Saban was talking about how TCU got in the playoff and they probably should have. And hey, we'd be favored by whatever. And you look at who we beat, and they went out and they absolutely annihilated Kansas State. Could have done the same thing yesterday, and they came out and laid an absolute egg. So, dude, credit to Michigan, by the way. And Matt Eumanns and Dave Ross even pointed this out because I had tweeted yesterday about how many teams have gone out and beaten USC, Alabama, and Michigan in the same season, and Alabama, Ohio State in the same season, and Matt replied back like, and didn't even go over their season win total. So what a turnaround for Michigan, and they're going to be a force again next year with Bryce Underwood coming in.
I didn't intend to ask this question, but now with Milroy yesterday, this comes into my mind. In whatever order, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward expected to be at the top of this coming year's NFL draft. I guess Jalen Milroe, who, by the way, has not announced officially yet that he's entering the NFL draft, but I guess maybe he's the third best prospect, obviously.
Is he?
That's what I mean. I don't know. Is Dart the third best prospect? Is you know, that's the question. My question to you is, who is the third best? And more than that, are we sure that Shedeur and Cam Ward are actually that good?
No. We're not. We're sure that they're good, really good college players, and I kind of went on my podcast and kind of vented about everybody with the bows and arrows and bullets at Cam Ward. But I get it. It's going to be a thing that we're going to be talking leading up to the draft about these teams need a quarterback and they're going to overdraft on a quarterback. And look, if you're the Giants or the Raiders or the Titans, like you need a quarterback. But like the fact that the Titans took Will Levis where they did it, now he's terrible. At least they didn't waste first round pick on him. But I still think Shedeur probably will be the first quarterback off the board. Cam Ward the second. And honestly, I have no idea what I would do with the third. I couldn't even consider taking Jalen Miller or Jackson Dart in the first round for sure.
It's a tough that I'm starting to wonder, right? Like you, because the quarterbacks are there, we know how these teams get on draft day. They understandably, they justifiably go quarterback crazy because you're nothing in the NFL without a good one. But you do wonder, like, as you just think about Shedeur Sanders and you think about Cam Ward and then whatever else is after that, however you evaluate those guys, if in fact, just because they're there, makes it a good thing. And then the sort of other thing is, you know, I'm sitting here laughing at Antonio Pierce and the Raiders for winning these games and they fall to 8. Maybe that ends up being in some perverse way a blessing in disguise, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe because, I mean, if you like what you see in the pre-camp or in the pre-draft workouts or your interviews, you can potentially trade up. But there's a chance at 8, maybe you get a Mikel Williams from Georgia. Maybe you get Abdul Carter. Maybe you get another impact defensive player. Like there are other guys out there that can clearly make an impact. And we've talked about this as well, like taking the impact starter at receiver or tackle or cornerback or whatever, and then taking the quarterback later in the draft. And that probably being the better EV play. So
right.
Maybe in the long term, I'll be sitting here that the Jets are picking 7th and I'll be happy about it.
Current first overall odds at FanDuel, Shedeur Sanders -110, Cam Ward down to +165, and then Travis Hunter +360.
And if it's the Patriots, maybe Travis Hunter's a great bet at +360 then. Right? The Patriots lose. They've got the number one pick, and if they keep it, they're not packing a quarterback they keep it, right? That's a big thing. But why wouldn't they draft Travis Hunter?
No, you're right. You're right. I hadn't really thought about it like that before.
So you brought up, go ahead, Chris, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and that's a team that's been void of a wide receiver threat for a big play threat for a long, long time. So that would be a welcome addition to New England.
Absolutely.
Is that where we're going, by the way? We definitely going wide receiver with him in the NFL?
I think so.
Okay. Because there's more money?
So. That's in talking with I had this conversation with Mark Ingram and Brady Quinn and Liner and those guys and NFL wise, and they think that now the way the NFL contracts are going with wide receivers, that he can get the wide receiver money will be more than a cornerback money.
Real quick, we have 60 seconds left. You're coming back. We'll talk about the three games today here after the break. The same questions that I talked about earlier today.
Excuse me.
Is this the end of the line for Penn State in your opinion? And what was the right side? Was there a right side yesterday? You can make a case for both, can't you?
You could make a case for right side. And the question that I posed to you and Fez and Willie and Todd in the chat last night, I posed on Twitter and I said, yeah, I guess. And then, of course, that turned into, well, you just hate Penn State.
Of course. Of course.
And then, of course, you have someone with a brain, a logical mind like Cleve T.A. come in and say, yeah, I think Boise probably was a right side. Yards per play with the same. They had 13 points taken off the board. Someone who actually like think it through.
Right.
So again, you can make a case for both sides, but yeah, I will be very interested to see what the opening number is with Penn State and the winner of Georgia Notre Dame tonight, because yeah, I can't see Penn State, if they play the way they did yesterday and the way they did against SMU offensively, beating Notre Dame or Georgia. I know this. I know the Georgia coaching staff and some other coaches out there watch both teams' films and they think Notre Dame is much better.
All right. Felica joins us for another segment, beginning with, of course, the game that starts in less than 2 hours. Three quarterfinals coming up right here on A Numbers Game at Visa.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Happy New Year to you. Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, kind enough to join us for a second segment, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Chris, did you bet on that Peyton Stearns match with me last night?
Of course I did. How fun was that? How great was it? She gets the break to go back up 4-3 in the second and then immediately gets broken at love. I mean, that was fun, wasn't it?
Absolutely brutal. A 30-minute game. With 16 deuces and 9 break points. It's just the most amazing.
You know it's a new year when I hear tennis names I got to Google. Because I don't know this one.
Peyton Stearns.
Here's one. I know, Kelly, you wouldn't have to Google Paula Badosa. I know that. But the other night, she was down a break in the third set, again, or two breaks, I think, actually, against Elena Ivanesson. And, like, it was one of those where, you know what? Ivanesson, I remember her. She's blown some big third set leads before. So I'm like, yeah, let me hop in on Badosa here. It's like plus 172 or something like that. And she immediately gets she holds her serve and she can get a break and get back on serve and has a couple of break points, blows it, and then immediately melts down on her serve as well. So that never happened.
Welcome back, tennis, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah, good times.
All right, let's do these one by one today. Let's do them chronologically, starting with Texas and Arizona State, the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, quarterfinal game where the Longhorns are now 13-point favorites. We're showing 13.5. This is trickling up and up. Total at 52. Can Arizona State cover the number here?
I don't know. I don't like the side. It feels a lot like the Clemson game as well that I really didn't have a great opinion on. The two bets I have in pocket here, I should say two. I did play Wisner over his rushing total again. I think they feel pretty confident about their ability to run the ball. And I played over 27.5 points in the first half. I just think Kenny Dillingham is one of those coaches who is everything that he has in his bag of tricks. Fake punts, going forward on fourth down, what trick plays, anything he has, he's going to break it out early in an attempt to put some points on the board. And if it goes well, they will. If it doesn't, they're going to wind up giving Texas pretty good field position. So I think we're going to see some points here in the first half. So I played over 27.5 in the first half.
By the way, speaking of the conversation we just had last segment, where does Quinn Ewers rank in your quarterback rankings in a draft? Way down, right?
Day two, probably late third round, I would think. There are some questions out there, too. Like, supposedly, there are rumors floating out there that teams are really going to ante up now for him to stay one more year in college with like some ridiculous NIL money. And you know what, if you're Quinn Ewers
just
throwing Miami out there as an example, like Cam Ward was not a first round pick or a top 10 pick before he went to Miami. He put up great numbers, and like, maybe that's something a team like Miami or even Florida State, well, I think Florida State did grab someone, but like, hey, Quinn, come make more money that you're going to ever make on your rookie deal in the NFL. Play a year and maybe you have the same type of success that Cam did or whoever else worked their way up. So he might not be done in college yet.
Jaden Daniels. I mean, why wouldn't you if you're him? Because I mean, his stock's only gone down this year, right? Correct. We were talking about him as possibly the first quarterback off.
I have 20-1 Heisman tickets on him.
That's what, I mean, I worry about laying the points with Texas, which I did. My big concern is, can I trust Quinn Ewers in this game? It's such a new world with it, obviously a whole new world with what you were just describing. So many more options of these players. And that was juxtaposed against Jackson Dart, who announced that he was available that he's going to go to the draft. I'm like, bro, you don't have to announce it. You just go. Yeah. Ohio State, Oregon. Let's get to the good ones with actually short spreads.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Oregon. Where Stormy is on the sideline for this again.
I know she is. I think she's on the Ohio State sideline. I think that's hell.
Okay.
I heard her tell Jeff the other day on the show. I grabbed Oregon plus 2.5.
Nice. Here.
And I think the biggest reason why, and again, sometimes maybe I read too much into the emotional side of things, it's going to be very hard for Ohio State to play pissed off and angry against the world like they did on their home field against Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. That was a game purely driven on emotion and being pissed off that everybody said they sucked, that they lost Michigan again, and they didn't know how they were going to respond, and they did, and they kicked the crap out of Tennessee. I just worry about in this environment now where people are kind of like, oh, okay, Ohio State really is that good. And yeah, they're favorite again, just like they were Ed Autzen a couple of months ago. Oregon is going to have Birch back on defense. Oregon didn't necessarily play a great game in that first game either. And look, Ohio State, it was a coin flip game. I think if these teams play 10 times, they probably both win 5 each. But I think the emotional edge in this game and certainly the rest advantage in this game allows Oregon to heal up. The last time we saw Oregon's defense, they weren't great. So we'll see if they can improve. But I think Oregon getting the points here is the way I ultimately landed. And I will say, full disclosure, part of that is me holding some Ohio State futures that if Oregon wins, I can kind of, okay, wash my hands with it. And if they move forward, I'm still holding those futures. But I do think the signs point to Oregon potentially being on the right side.
Do you believe that this is the de facto national championship? Do you believe the winner of this game wins at all?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. Should the committee have done the seating differently? Knowing
absolutely.
That they should have, yeah.
Oh, the seeding was completely screwed up. Like, Ohio State should have been the 5 seed, and Texas should have been moved down. Like, let's talk about the bet. We can hash this out at any time.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call Tim Brando, and I'm going to have a conversation with him.
The fact that you've had now I'm wound up again, so now I have to
get
out.
Apologize.
The fact that you have the two teams that lost the conference title games, Texas and Penn State, that had easier roads to the semis than Oregon and Georgia, the teams that won the conference titles, is ridiculous. How they saw their rankings and slotted them into what a projected bracket might look like and said, yeah, nailed it. This is perfect. This is exactly what we needed is beyond me.
Interesting. Interesting. And also interesting that someone like you is not on a committee like that, nor do you have a Heisman vote. I just want to buy it. I'm not trying to rile you up. It's amazing.
I appreciate that. And again, sometimes I think that maybe I like care too much and put too much thought into it. And just my thought process might not be right, but I don't know. And that's what I said about when I talked about the teams getting in the seat. I'm like, look, I just want the best possible method to get the best possible teams in, whoever they are. If you think Indiana, SMU are the two best teams to get in, fine. Think Ole Miss and whomever, fine. I just want to make sure we're doing everything we can to get it right.
All right, one more game. Obviously, the Superdome in New Orleans. Notre Dame in Georgia. I'm looking offshore here. I'm seeing Georgia is a one-point favorite. DraftKings had Notre Dame as a one-point favorite. I'm looking to see if it still is that case.
I see. Yeah, and I see a lot of picks, too.
A lot of pick 'em out there. What are your thoughts?
I am a little... Look, I just can't get over like the fact that this game is where it is line-wise. You just think back to all the games, and I was going to look this up a little this afternoon, like the spreads for Notre Dame in these big top five type games, BCS, college football playoff type games. Like, this is the most respect Notre Dame has gotten in a game like this that I can remember for a team that hasn't won a game like this in a hell of a long time. And which led me to believe like Notre Dame might be the right side here. And I talked to a couple of people who I really trust that I talked to throughout the year, someone who is familiar with the Georgia program, who's seen them practice and been out there. And I said to him, wow, Notre Dame's getting a lot of support. And he's like, really? He goes, let me tell you. He goes, I've been to practice for the last 2 years watching. I've seen Gunnar Stockton throw against our ones on defense. He can play. So he's like, don't let that. He's going to be fine. So that he feels pretty good that Stockton's going to be able to play. And talk to another person who covers the sport and watches both teams, former player. And I said the same thing, posed him the same question about, is Notre Dame the right side here? And he's like, I'm surprised you would think that, because aren't they kind of the same team right now with Stockton and a running quarterback and great running backs? And doesn't Georgia just have better players? So he kind of just reduced it to that. So that ultimately led me to land on Georgia. And the other interesting thing was how the Georgia players have come out and basically said, Gunnar Stockton's one of us. He's not into these materialistic things. And it really makes you wonder if this is going to be remember how it was how can you play Jake Fromm when you got JT Daniels? How can you play Stetson Bennett when you have Justin Fields?
Stetson Bennett.
It feels a little bit like this. The Georgia locker room might finally have their guy. So we'll see if he can go out and play tonight like I think they expect him to.
I did
play Georgia.
Last thing, 5 seconds. Yes or no, will Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss score 1 million points tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought.
More than a million.
More than a million.
Brentford double chance versus Arsenal. Brentford's gotten a result in 8 of their 9 home games this year. +160 at home against Arsenal on the double chance.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready to try something different? Sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet, U.S.-based, and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, sdbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days. Up to $200, head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Bitlin live here from Circa on a New Year's morning. College football abounds. Before we get to Adam Burke, Felica on the way out, he had a Columbo bet where right before he left the room, he was like, one more thing.
Southampton and Sunderland under 2.5 for Premier League action today.
Wait, but there was another one. Wasn't there a double chance?
Brentford double chance, +160. That game starts in 1 hour.
Brentford double chance, +160. That game starts in 1 hour. Okay. So if you want some action besides college football, there you go. Chris Felica firing away.
I got respect. I always think of him and Dallin Cuff, where they are like the college football and college basketball guys. And I know secretly at home, they are they love betting their soccer so much.
Felica has been on this show. We actually counted once. We have talked 11 different sports with Felica on this show.
Makes sense.
And I said to him, if you only had one, you were only allowed one and you had to get rid of the other 10. And his answer is I would take horse racing for him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. None of the above. Adam Burke, known to bet multiple sports as well. He is part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. He's VSiN managing editor. You can see all of his stuff at VSiN.com. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Happy New Year, Adam. Good morning, sir.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Good to have you, man. I was saying earlier on the show, you're a tough guy to get on the show because you're very busy, but I'd have you on every week if you were able to, man. We appreciate it.
Let's set it up. We can do it.
We can do it, he said.
Let's do it.
He said we can do it.
He just said it. Post Super Bowl.
What did Rome used to say? Racket. Get that in there.
Monday mornings.
Okay. Adam, let's start with college football games today. What do you like best?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know if I really like any of these games all that much. I mean, you know, look, it is late in the year. These lines are very tight, obviously, very scrutinized, big handles on these games. Sportsbooks know exactly where they need to be. I think it's kind of tricky to really bet into a lot of these, you know, college football games here that we've seen throughout the bowl season, just with all the news, all the things moving around. But in these games specifically, I mean, like I said, they're so scrutinized that you're not going to find a great edge. I will say this, you know, we've got late Texas money coming in once again. And this is kind of what we saw in the game against Clemson as well. I was on Clemson. I was dead wrong in that game, as everybody else who was on Clemson was. This is the game where it kind of feels like it's setting up the same way, right? Clemson's run defense was not good enough to stop Texas's run offense. My whole handicap on the game was, hey, I don't trust Quinn Ewers. I don't trust Quinn Ewers to put the ball where he needs to. He's going to have a turnover. He's going to put the ball at risk. He did have an interception, did have a pretty weak stat line. And Texas just ran it down Clemson's throat for over 6 yards of carry on 48 attempts. I could see Texas doing the exact same thing to Arizona State here, where Arizona State, they were lucky to be up 21-0 against Kansas State because they still gave up over 6 yards per carry in that game. Against better run offenses like UCF and Kansas, the primary running back in both of those games went over the 100-yard mark. So I don't know that Arizona State holds up here defensively in terms of stopping the run. So I'm kind of getting to the point where I think Texas minus 13.5 is actually the side to play in that game.
I'm with you on Quinn Ewers, though. That's for sure.
I found the last 13 and almost got away from us, Gil. We're out to 14 already at the South Point. We were talking about
it earlier. I bet the 13 earlier, but you were holding out for a 12.5.
I was holding out to hear from Felica and Adam Burke. Now I've got some confirmation I'm getting in right now.
Kelly Billen, everybody. At VSiN.com, a quick glance, and again, I said about Adam, he writes about all kinds of different things. By the way, that's your college football play of the day, would you say? We can move on to other sports?
I would say so. Look, nobody knows what we're going to get out of Georgia with Gunnar Stockton. You know, so I mean, that to me, that's just kind of a coin flippy type of game, a toss-up, where I just don't have enough information, enough data points on Stockton to really know what Georgia's going to do. And the Ohio State-Oregon game, I mean, we saw the absolute best version of Ohio State against Tennessee. Is that repeatable for this team? Or are they going to have a similar style of play calling? Has Ryan Day learned his lesson? Does he no longer have, you know, Jim Harbaugh rent-free in his head because that game's over with? But at the same time, Will Howard's had a back-breaking interception in two of their bigger games this season. And so I don't know that he can avoid that here, where I expect Dylan Gabriel probably will. So, you know, I think Ohio State deserves to be favored. They would have been favored in Indianapolis in the Big Ten championship game had those two teams come together. I understand why the sharper side here is Ohio State, number one in the country in EPA per play on both offense and defense. But Oregon and that Will Stein offense really scare me, and Howard scares me a little bit too. So I think that's a, you know, last possession type of game, or a game decided by a turnover, and then not knowing what you're going to get out of Stockton. I think those are two tricky games to bet on.
I definitely think the Ohio State-Oregon game is tricky, and I think you're right about the Will Howard sentiment, which is if you just showed up for college football last week and you just saw Will Howard play that one game, you're probably like, oh, he's the greatest quarterback, you know, in college football. Probably the best game of his career, one might say.
Just Adam, wanted to ask you about Ohio State-Oregon line movement, because we did think Texas was going to take money this morning. Do you think we see a 3 at any point on this game before kickoff?
You know, I think it's possible just because people remember what they've most recently seen, right? Ohio State 21-0 in the first quarter against Tennessee. That game was never in doubt. Will Howard looked great, as Gil just mentioned. You know, Jeremiah Smith, they used him again, somebody who's a mismatch nightmare on the outside. And the last data point we have for Oregon, they gave up 8.7 yards per carry to Penn State. So, you know, Penn State team that frankly didn't look all that good last night. So I do think there's a chance that maybe we see a Rogue 3 show up out there. If we do, I'd be shocked if it's up there for very long.
Okay. All right, let's do a little rapid fire here. Three sports here out, the third of which will give you a shudder down your spine here, Adam. I'm warning you. But college basketball, you wrote a piece today at VSiN.com, as you are wont to do, about college basketball. You don't have to give away the whole article, but give us one play in college basketball today.
I'll give away the whole article because there is only one play. Oh, okay. There's not a whole lot of things here today.
Give it away.
And look, specifically, you know, because I get, you know, a start here on Pacific time, I don't like to play early games. I like to give people as much lead time as possible with that article. So really cut the card down today. I think it left me with maybe 7 or 8 games to choose from. But I like Chattanooga -4 against Mercer. This is a Mox team that they're much better from three than they've shown here so far this season. A couple of their better players, Honor Huff and Trey Bonham, they're shooting well below their career averages from three. This is a team that takes a three about 50% of the time. So if they're not shooting well, their shooting percentage is going to be down from three. Long layoff for both of these teams here with the holiday break. But I think Chattanooga is a positive regression team in the SoCon. I do think they start shooting better from three. They've already been very efficient on two-point shots. Mercer plays at a very high tempo. So this should be a game where Chattanooga gets possessions to get those shots, get those opportunities to put up points. So I like Chattanooga -4 here. This was 2.5 overnight, so not exactly getting the best of it, but I think the Mox roll in this game.
See a lot of threes out there right now.
All right, that is at 3 Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. Let's go to the NFL. The squirreliness that is Week 18, Adam. I usually ask, what do you like, as most do. In this case, with Week 18, I will ask you, what do you think you like in Week 18?
Yeah, a lot of moving parts to be sure. Look, I think one thing that I like is, you know, live betting, first half betting, stuff like that is a really good way to approach this week. You know, look, as much as these coaches want to shield these players from what's going on in other games, they're not going to be able to, right? They're going to ask the fans. They're going to have it. Somebody's going to be in their ear letting them know what's going on. So you may find some really good live betting opportunities here for this week with teams that, you know, have playoff scenarios, but things aren't going their way in the games that are out of their control. So, you know, maybe you get some good live betting opportunities there. Also, you know, it's still pretty early here being Wednesday, but the forecast, there's quite a few games that could have some precipitation, some wind, some cold weather, some, you know, not so savory conditions when you're kind of playing out the string, playing out the end of your season, stuff like that. So I do think that, you know, all of these things are kind of factors that you want to key in on. You know, for example, I think Carolina and Atlanta is a game to take a look at here where Tampa Bay is a massive favorite against New Orleans. They should take care of business and maybe be taking care of business by the end of the first half. Maybe Atlanta kind of hears about that, right? Maybe you still get, you know, some important reps from Michael Penix Jr. in this game, but maybe you don't get the full-fledged defensive effort in the second half. So that's a game where I like the over between the Panthers and the Falcons. A couple of quarterbacks the last 2 weeks here that are top five in average depth of target. So we could see some big explosive plays in this game, especially if, as I mentioned, you know, Atlanta kind of realizes their season is over. And maybe they keep going on offense. Guys want to put up numbers, but maybe you don't get as much of a defensive effort.
I like the thought. And then the weather note is a good one, too, because while we're focused on all these motivational angles, we perhaps have forgotten about the weather. So I appreciate that reminder. Last thing before you go here, Adam, and I say this as someone who has the ultimate respect for you in terms of you have a history of having written the greatest baseball previews of all time when you were at Bang the Book and then since you've come to VSiN as well. So I just want to say that as a backdrop. But then I ask this question, which is, when can we expect the first Adam Burke baseball stuff to come down the pipeline?
I would say probably late February will be about the time. So, you know, we haven't done it in PDF form over the last couple of years. We've just been posting the guide digitally over at VSiN.com. I imagine that'll be the plan again. So look for that probably late February as, you know, we get a couple of weeks into spring training.
There you go. Adam Burke, everybody, at Skating Tripods on Twitter. Happy New Year, Adam. Thanks for making the time, man.
Have a good one, guys.
Adam Burke, everybody. VSiN managing editor. Again, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. Kelly and me with our final thoughts on the college football quarters today. It's a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up top of the hour after a numbers game, the college football tailgate show, VSiN's college football tailgate show special edition for the three quarterfinal games today. Tim Murray and Dustin Swedelson.
Let's go.
Dustin fired up.
Big time.
From noon to four Eastern. So from 9 to 1 Pacific, 4 hours of the College Football Tailgate Show. They will take you right through the first game today between Texas and Arizona State. Then Follow the Money. That leads right into Follow the Money from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And then VSiN Prime Time tonight from 7 to 11. That is your full day at VSiN, the sports betting network. Check it out.
And as JVT subtly hinted at earlier, him and Matt Eumanns are work every single VSiN prime time on the holidays.
That's so, right. Yeah, they're always together.
Just wanted to make sure he got that out there earlier.
That's right. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Brian Young, Notorious Guns. Nothing better than starting the new year with two of the best, Gil and Kelly. New Year's resolution is to get brunch after a show with Gil, Kelly, and the Crack Man next time I'm in Vegas.
You know, I'm kind of glad. I'm not a big fan of just brunch in general, but I'm glad you used the word brunch because I catch a lot of heat around here if I go with either breakfast or lunch after our show.
How are you not a fan of brunch?
It gets out of control when there's things like bottomless mimosas and stuff. I don't need champagne like that. I don't need perfume at 10 a.m.
Perfume. Manny Davison. Happy New Year, fellas. Another year in the books. Looking forward to a profitable 2025, as are we. Happy New Year, Manny. This is from the Numbers Guys. I've never been so confused and sad and then reassured all is right with the world. I hopped out of bed this New Year's Day at 11:02 thinking it was crack time. It's not Thursday, dum-dum. Bear's worth staying up for. Said the bear is worth staying up for. Tell me he's as good a guy in real life. Yes. Chris Felica is every bit as good of a guy in real life as he appears to be on this radio program. Do we have anybody on this show, Kelly? This is just me and you talking. Nobody's listening. Do we have anybody on this show who is appears to be good on the show, but then in real life is a horrible human being?
Jonathan Von Tobel, obviously. Just going to go back to him. Yeah. Just going to go back to him.
He said it, JVT. Jeff G, give me the hook. He says the kid can sling it. He's talking about Gunnar Stockton today. Again, a big part of the handicap of the Georgia-Notre Dame game, obviously coming down to how you feel about Gunnar Stockton. Jeff G, give me the hook, says the kid can sling it. He broke Trevor Lawrence's Georgia high school passing records. I remember when Buck Ballew wanted Gunnar to be the starter over Stetson Bennett. That's how good this kid is.
All I know is good thing it's Tim Murray and Dustin Sweetelson up next because I'd be going Gunnar Henderson for I don't know how long during the show.
Me too. Yeah. It would just be Orioles talk for 2 hours. Matt at Matt May 11 took Chris Felica's tip on Stockton to heart. Georgia to win. Stockton over 175.5 yards at plus 229 is a nice price. Go Dogs, I guess, he said.
Let's go, Dogs. Gil and I are big fans.
We are.
I've forgotten I've had a future ticket on them like six times.
It really is the quietest futures ticket we have.
What's your number, though?
Mine's 5-1.
Yeah, mine's that's like 6-1. It's not like super exciting.
Before we get back to the college football games, the college football tailgate show after us, it's time for our best bets of the day, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN, here on this show every day, and of course, every show on the network. GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Mine, the Rams plus 3. Worst of it alert. Didn't follow my own advice that teams don't tend to care about seeding as much as we do as handicappers. And I speculated when that was moving, when it was drifting by a half point yesterday on the show. I was like, is Sean McVay about to sit all his players? Is Wayne Brady going to have to make a bad bet? I did. And sure enough, after the show, Sean McVay's like, we're sitting everybody. I am on the Texans. I am on the Texans at a pick 'em on guessing lines. I couldn't believe that they were 4.5 point dogs. Did I bet it then? No, because I was doing a show, everybody. But after the show, I bet the Texans had to pick them against the Titans because the Titans have nothing to play for. They want to lose, or they should want to lose as an organization. And I'm on the Longhorns here early, minus 13. By the way, I'm also on Georgia. The game I am not on is Ohio State and Oregon, which I believe I will just wait to bet in-game. Kelly Bidlin, Calais Bidlin, his best bets, he's on the Charge minus 3.5, but he's thinking about manipulating perhaps this weekend.
I got to wait and see what happens with the Steelers.
Based on what the Steelers do, yeah.
Have to buy off a little bit of that. Shoot for that middle. Old Midland Bidlin back. Watch out.
Kelly Midland Bidlin. Broncos Vikings 6-point teaser, which is an obvious teaser to make. The Vikings getting the 8.5 in that showdown with the Lions for the number one seed in the NFC and the NFC North title. He, too, is on Texas today this morning. This game starts in, a little over an hour?
Yep.
And then you took the points with Oregon.
Yeah, we just went to 3 here at Circa. Well, I don't know if I got that back down, but yeah, 3. Plus 3, minus 120 on it for me.
Now we're getting a little crazy. Also from our guest today, JVT, who Kelly only had bad things to say about moments ago. He's on Texas, laying the points versus Arizona State. He is on Ohio State. He's Oppo U versus Oregon. And a couple, he has a prop, Riley Leonard, under 45.5 rushing yards. And he's on the Notre Dame, Georgia, under at 45.5. Also, bets today from Adam Burke. He's on the Mocs, -3. What were you saying off air? When did Tennessee Chattanooga become Chattanooga?
Yeah. Hmm? Also, know. Did I spell Chattanooga right?
You did, I think. Yes.
I don't know why it looks weird.
Two T's, two O's? I believe that's correct. Yeah. What did you think you
were? Oh, that just looked odd.
Kelly's like, shouldn't there be three O's?
Oh, and Chris Velika.
And then Chris Velika, he's on Quintrevion Weisner over 80.5 rushing yards. He's on the Texas-Arizona State over in the first half at 27.5. He is on Oregon plus the 2.5 versus Ohio State. He's on the Georgia money line versus Notre Dame. And then a couple soccer bets for good measure. Mm-hmm. Brentford double chance at plus 160 in a game that starts, what, a little over a half hour from now?
Yep.
And then a little later today, Southampton-Sunderland, the under 2.5 from Felica as well. Those are your VEASAN G-Bank best bets of the day. Don't forget, VEASAN recommends every bettor make the G-Bank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3-5% on cash advance fees, earn cash back rewards on eligible betting transactions, and now for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account. Spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSIN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN, subject to credit approval, terms, and conditions apply. Were you on the game yesterday between Penn State and Boise State?
I did not have a single dollar involved. Did not.
Ended up with...
And honestly, I'm kind of glad. As you've brought up a couple times, the right side situation. Like, I know me and my college football watching habits. Yes. I watched that game early. I was like, oh, this is going to be a Penn State runaway. Tuned out for a little bit. And then it was like, whoa, this Boise State team pretty feisty
it
here.
It looked like it was going to be over by halftime.
Yeah, it did.
Penn State to the early 14-0 lead. And then Penn State got a little too cute with the play calling. I was on Penn State, but as we said earlier on the show, I'm not sure it was the right side. I'm not sure Boise State was the right side. I think you can make a case that both teams were. Doesn't matter in the end. Penn State gets the money. And I don't know if this is it feels like the end of the road for Penn State, no matter who they play coming up in the semis. But we'll see what that number is. Obviously, that's the great equalizer. We'll see what the where the money ought to be based on the spread. But Penn State gets through. They are the first semifinalist. And as far as today is concerned, once again, I am on I'm on the first and the last game. Like, I'm going to trust Quinn Ewers, he says very
I'm just riding on a futures ticket on that last one.
You're just going to ride. You're not touching it.
I'll be real with Georgia.
I feel like Georgia comes through. And I think all the Gunnar Stockton talk is correct. Like, as great as Carson Beck is, what is the drop-off? It's unclear if it's a massive one or even, you know, anything of significance at all. Maybe there is a small one, but
I mean, I think that Chris Velika, what he brought up about the whole locker room situation is very interesting.
You got to listen to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Oregon, Ohio State, I do think as great as Ohio State is, by the way, no outcome would surprise me here. Ohio State wins by, you know, two scores. Would I be shocked? I don't know if I'd be shocked, but it wouldn't be the most outlandish thing in the world, nor would I feel that way if Oregon ended up winning by two scores. Might just be just as close as the first meeting was this year. But this is what I want to watch and probably in game, because I do agree with what Adam Burke was saying. Will Howard could not have looked better last week. And so I think there's a lot of people are like, oh, my God, it's top. You know, what does Tom Brady say? A plus Ohio State here. I don't know if we can count on that today.
Game you're looking forward to the most today just to watch. This one?
This one. For this sure. One,
yeah, me too.
For sure.
Probably a topic for crack tomorrow, because we did talk about it just a couple weeks ago. But man, I'm looking at a couple books right now who aren't even hanging unders on player props anymore with college football.
No unders at all.
No unders.
Just overs.
Just the 50 plus, 60 plus, 70 plus stuff. It's depressing, man. I don't know. I think you guys had a great chat about it a couple weeks ago. I don't know. It's just sad that we can't we can't bet unders on these things.
Boys and girls, for the new bettors out there, when it's not a two-way market, that's not good for you, the better. Yeah. That is not good for you, the better. Way to end it on a somber note there on us.
It's depressed me. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave you all depressed, January 1st. But don't worry. Tim and Dustin coming up next.
Tim and Dustin coming up. So it is a special edition of the College Football Tailgate Show. Tim Murray, Dustin Sweetelson, they will take you through. They'll be on air for 4 hours. They will take you through, literally, as they're on air, the Texas-Arizona State game. And then they will give way. But 4 hours of college football talk with both Tim and Dustin. Looking forward to that. Good luck with all your bets. Happy New Year to you and yours. May it be a prosperous one and a profitable one. We will certainly try to do our part in making that so. Good luck. Coming back with the College Football Tailgate Show, Tim and Dustin. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.